Good morning and welcome. I encourage you to take your Bible, whether in printed form or in digital form, and open to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at the first 12 verses there in this message. I've entitled Critical Need for Prayer in this series, Principles of a Fulfilled Life, messages from Sermon on the Mount. God calls us into the game. He doesn't call us to keep score. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6 read, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Judge not. Does that mean never make any kind of judgment? Righteous judgments are necessary. We must judge what is holy. We must judge who the dogs and swine are. Judge not does not mean to not evaluate right from wrong. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. "For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." The issue is not to judge with intent to condemn. You see, you know, how it usually works is we defend wrong behavior by blaming others. We transfer blame by criticizing others. We blame those we consider less righteous than ourselves. We will magnify some insignificant sin of theirs to draw attention away from a much worse sin of ours. That's what Jesus is saying here. Example, gossip is a sin. But we justify it by magnifying the sin of the one we gossip about. "People must know about this." Or, "This must be dealt with." Or, "Look, I'm only sharing what's true." And the list goes on and on and on of the way we justify gossip. Do you know what Jesus says about that? Be careful. You will face equally severe judgment in return. Look at verse 12. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." We know that verse commonly as the golden rule. You do to others how you would want them to do to you. God judges us by the same standards we use to judge others. Verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." When we seek to enhance our position at the expense of others, we end up judging ourselves. Judging others reflects hypocrisy. Verses 3 and 4. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? When you look at those words, a speck versus a plank, well, a speck, the Greek word kapos, it equals a kind of a dried piece of wheat chaff. On the contrary, the word translated plank, dokos, refers to a large log. Sin in my life blurs my vision, making me unable to help others. I need my heart right by trying to help others with theirs. Hypocrisy describes a totally insensitive person. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, you're an inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same thing. Truth is the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. We are to help other Christians get the speck out of their eye, but we must see clearly to do it. Verse 5, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see, Christians must approach one another with humility, not with condemning attitudes. Christians must keep their own lives clean. Only then may they help others keep theirs clean. Otherwise, it's hypocrisy. And what is hypocrisy? Well, in this case, hypocrisy is not applying to your own life the same standards that you apply to the lives of others. Look at verse 6, Matthew 7. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. There is a proper use of criticism to benefit others in a positive way. This verse is an example of judging in a righteous manner. As usual, Jesus uses imagery to illustrate an important point. Dogs cannot appreciate the value of holy things. Do not give. Swine cannot appreciate the beauty of pearls, nor cast. Expressions of love are wasted on some. They have hearts not ready for the truth. Some people, like dogs, are too ignorant to see any value in the truth of the gospel message. Other people, like pigs, will trample the truth in mockery and ridicule. Conviction with an unreceptive heart may prompt them to attack the one who's confronting them with truth. Tear you to pieces. The Lord is not endorsing that Christians be simply silent witnesses. He's not doing that either. With wisdom, with discrimination and tactfulness, God wants His followers to reach those with ready hearts. And there are three assumptions in this verse that can be seen as Jesus teaches. First, Jesus assumed His followers will be faithful witnesses. Do not give, nor cast. Those two phrases indicate that witnessing is happening. But as you're witnessing, don't give to, don't cast before. Go therefore is the command. Matthew 28, verse 19. You shall be witnesses to me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So Jesus assumes in this passage, he assumes that his followers will be faithful witnesses. Second, Jesus assumed his followers will be good stewards. The gospel message is a precious trust from the Lord. It's managing His goods. The gospel message is placed in our care, and we're to be good stewards of it, sharing it as we're able to. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So Jesus assumed His followers will be faithful witnesses. He assumed His followers will be good stewards. And then third, Jesus assumed His followers will be wise discerners. The verb tense used by Jesus forbids an action which is not already in progress, and it prevents it from beginning. Do not give, nor cast. Do not give to dogs what is holy. Does not mean that nothing will get to the dogs. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. And then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and urged Him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But He answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus expects His disciples to discern the ready heart and focus attention there. That necessarily means that some unready hearts will be touched in the discernment process. The crumbs which fell. The bottom line, we are called to be faithful witnesses. Be good stewards and wise discerners. We must depend on the Holy Spirit's guidance, which brings us to the crucial need of prayer. Look at verses 7 through 12 of Matthew 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Jesus taught His disciples to seek God, to be on a mission of seeking God. Be persistent in prayer, confident in expecting an answer, and purposeful in serving. for every Christian who desires to effectively serve, prayer is critical. And why is that? Well, failure to pray is failure to persist. Stopping short of finding doors of service and missing life's purpose. Be a prayerful Christian. Look at verses 7 and 8 again. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who has receives, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. I think the New Living Translation probably has it right. Probably the best translation of this. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Matthew 21 and verse 22, in whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. John 14, verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Those who keep asking receive. Those who keep seeking find. Those faithful servants who keep knocking have doors open to them. So be a prayerful Christian. Be a confident and trusting Christian. Look at verses 9 to 11. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Listen, expect a positive answer from God. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Remember two things. God will hear and answer his children's prayers. And God will answer them with what is best for them. God has our best interests in his plans. So be a confident and trusting Christian, and then also be a purposeful Christian. Verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Previous versions of this rule existed before Jesus, but they were all in the negative. Like Rabbi Hillel taught, what is hateful to you, don't do to someone else. Jesus took it and made it positive. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 down to verse 40. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Romans 13:8 tells us to owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Jesus demonstrated love to us. We demonstrate love to others. God's purpose is carried out as grace touches people. Treat people the way you want to be treated, regardless of how they treat you. Just think about how God demonstrated that to us. We all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all deserve to be punished because God's judgment is on sin. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." But then it goes on to say, "But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus." Free gift of God. Why would God give us Jesus Christ for eternal life? Because he loves us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so how was that demonstrated? Well, God gave his Son, and his Son went to the cross. Romans 5:8, "God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We need to put our trust in that. We need to trust Jesus, that he died for us, and that he rose from the dead and can give us victory over death. We just need to confess that before him. If we can, Romans 10:9-10, "If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness." And with that trust and belief, we just need to reach out and ask. Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Is that your experience? Did you come before God with all your sin and confess that he gave Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ died for you, and you're asking, and you've asked God to forgive you for eternal life? Have you done that? Well, praise God. Live under his lordship. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this part of the Sermon on the Mount. Father, as we have considered it, Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts, that we would apply this truth to our lives with regard to how we interact with other believers, with regard to judgment, and also that we walk a life of prayer, that we might be useful witnesses, useful servants to you in your kingdom, in your eternal plan. Father, just pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts, those of us who are present here, those who are online, watching or listening. Father, we just pray this in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. Amen. You have a great day.